This is the Lord's day.
Yes.
Not their day, not your day, not my day. This is the Lord's day. And you know what we just did? We joined innumerable company of angels who cease not day or night. They cease not. It's all about Him. But I'll tell you, Lord and Michael have intimidated me. I'm going to go sit down and let them have it. Hey, that was good, Michael. You're better than your mom and daddy put together. But she's got a little brother that's just like her. They don't have notes. They don't have to have notes. They got sense. And they got the Holy Ghost. And Gentry is preaching in San Francisco, where they just had a 6-point major. Say it. Right. You may have to help me. I'm going on 89. But I've got enough that I won't forget that you won't have to help me with. But I'm so excited about this church. I really am. I'm so excited. And hey, you don't have any church tonight, so don't be watching your watches at me. Hey, they're taking my time. You know, let me just tell you, you're not going to want to leave here today. I don't care how hungry you get, you're not going to want to leave here. We've got meat to eat that you don't know anything about. That's what Jesus told them. Said, we've got meat to eat. But I want to thank this wonderful couple for opening their arms and their hearts and their pocketbooks and everything they have to Michael and me. I want to thank them, and I want to thank this church for holding up their hands, supplying their needs, encouraging them, praying for them and their beautiful children. And let me tell you, when you do, you can just expect it. The prayers you pray for them will flow down to your family. It just will be automatic. But you get both of them for the price of one. Now that's pretty cheap to be what they are. And let me, before you're seated, let me say another thing, because the Lord spoke this to me. I'm not going to prophesy, but I don't know that it's that, but I'm going to tell you this. Say, Chapel North is going to be a chapel of a house of prayer. Chapel North is going to be a chapel of prayer. Chapel North is going to be a redemption center. Chapel North is going to be a soul-winning center. Chapel North is going to be a supernatural, miraculous, healings, laying on of hands. Say, everybody, not just these two, say, there's healing in my hands. These signs shall follow them that believe. Say, I'm a believer. So I'm going to get out of this house, and I'm going to reach people myself. I'm going to minister. And hey, these singers, as Michael said, and these musicians, honey, you're wonderful. And this man back here, where is he? Where'd he go? Hey, he's awesome. I've got my eye on you, buddy. You better want to stay with them. You better want to stay. Oh, I ain't going to play dirty. I'm going to at least do it in the pulpit if I do. Oh, again, folks, I'm going to let you be seated, but I'm going to rush as best I can, but don't rush me, because I've got something for you. And Michael was absolutely miraculous and supernatural. I am going to tell her mom and daddy, you better step up to the plate, okay? And I'm going to tell Gentry, you better get going, buddy, because you got somebody. Hey, everybody in this room is anointed, and if you're not, you're going to be before you leave here. Say, I'm going to make my life count. Say, nobody's going to outpray me. Nobody's going to outwit me, witness me. Nobody's going to outworship me. That girl right there is going to follow their steps. She's going to be a worshiper. She's going to be a prayer warrior. She's going to sing and worship God. She's going to be a church leader. Come on, folks, let's clap. Say, everything I got. Say, everything I've got's going into this basket. Every egg I've got's going into this basket. You won't be a loser. You may be seated. I thank you, and they're your pastors and all of that, but Jared and Luda, I want to thank you for everything. I'm not going to go into all of that. I'm not going to take these people's time to go into all of that. But I do want to tell you that this will be known. Now get me, and I may tell you two or three things before I get going on my message. I want to tell you these things not to, because God gets all the glory. Yes, but this church needs to be known as a prayer center. Yes. Where people can bring their troubles. Are you hearing me? Yes. Where people can bring their needs and they can be miraculously met. That's why you're after prayer. That's why you're after fasting and worshiping God. And I just want to tell you that my senator, he's retired now. And Anthony's birthday, and Michael knows this, every birthday, and now Gentry's his birthday. Every birthday, I spend the day at the church from 6 in the morning until 6 that evening, from sunup until sundown. That's his gift for his birthday. It has been since he was a teenager and going into the evangelistic work. I'm taking from my message, but do you mind my doing that? You're not going to have to come back here tonight. So just let me have myself a good time here right now. So this year I wasn't feeling well after having a ruptured appendix, and the doctors didn't expect me to live and all of that. And that's why I haven't been to you before now. I tease them and say, you didn't have me. You just forgot all about me and all that. But I prayed all night. I went to the church. I didn't let anybody know it. I didn't want anybody to know it. Didn't want Anthony Mickey to know it. But I locked myself into the reception area. That's an introduction to a suite of offices. And I was there all night. I'm telling you that to tell you this. That all, whether you announce it or not, you give God all the glory. But it finally gets around. That's a house of prayer. That's where people pray. And that's where you can get your needs met. So I'm praying there this particular year. Must have been like 6 or 7 or maybe 8 years ago. I can't remember. But my senator and I, it's 2:00 in the afternoon and my back is leaned up and I'm tired. And I don't eat that day. And I'm leaning up against the altar bench and I see the silhouette of a man walking through the glass doors there. And it frightens me somewhat. And yes, I'm frightable. I'm very secure in the pulpit. But out of the pulpit, I'm a clinging vine, and that's okay. That's okay, women. But right here now, I'm more powerful than he is, because that's right. I'm here, and God's on me, and I'm anointed. So I see him getting closer, and I said, Charlie DeWitt, that's his name. I said, what are you doing here? And he came and sat down by me, got just as close to me as he could get. I'm telling you folks this, not about me. Telling you how people will hear and what kind of reputation you want this church to have. So he got just as close to me as he could get. And I look at him and I said, what brings you here? He said, I went by your house looking for you. And when I didn't find you there, I knew where to find you. So while I sat there and I said, what's the deal? He said, I've been found with cancer of the lungs. His son is the most celebrated heart doctor in Louisiana, Dr. DeWitt. And every one of our people wants Dr. DeWitt. He says, I said, well, Dr. DeWitt, Senator, there are other people in this house, prayer house, and I'm not going to embarrass you, but I'm going to pray for you, and God's going to honor it. And I'm not going to make a big fuss about it. I just pray for you in Jesus' name, and I'm going to lay hands on you, and I've got the promise that God's going to heal you. But I said, your son is internationally known and has connections with international doctors. You're headed to Houston. He said, yes, I didn't want to go till you prayed for me. I'm telling you that, folks, to tell you how your reputation will get around. So I said, well, you go and get the best doctors you can have, but you go in Jesus' name. I did tell him this, and I said, you're going to be healed. The man is healed today. He's still living. Came back to a big thing that we observed there in Alexandria around Christmas time. And a pastor has them seated in a section where the VIPs sit. And there he sat. When I walk in, he stands up and gets in the aisle and said, there's my angel healer. I said, no, Charlie, be careful. I said, that's dangerous. I said, he healed you. And I said, it's all. He said, yes, but you prayed the prayer. All I told you that before getting into my lesson, because I could tell you even about Dr. David that got on the airplane with me not more than 6 months or so ago. And he had served Pops and served me and my family. And he and his wife and daughter, the daughter is a doctor. They were headed to a doctor's convention in Tallahassee, Florida. And after he gets them seated on the plane, he comes up to me, and I'm seated here by the window in the little one-seater, and there are two seats over here, and I see a man standing there. I'm already begun studying. See a man standing there, and I look up, and it's Dr. David. He said, I just came to tell you that when I was in ICU, this is my first time out. I've been 3 months sick and whatever, but he said, I was in ICU, and I dreamed that you walked in that ICU and prayed for me, and God healed me. I'm telling you all of that to tell you, so you build a reputation, even in your neighborhood. That's a house that knows how to pray. That's a man and a woman that knows how to pray. Say, God gets all the glory. But he's got to have a vessel through whom he can flow and be used. So give God all the glory. And then when I'm operated on, Dr. Jonathan Hunter walks into my room, but I'm going to tell you about Dr. Jonathan Hunter 44 years ago, because this happened 2 years ago when I talked to his mother. His mother walked through. I'm sitting with the bus route group. I've never missed that, because that was Brother Mangan's heart, sending buses into the community there for less fortunate people. The church spends about $250,000 a year to bus people in that don't know anything about this. So I'm sitting there with them, and I see this beautiful lady of the city walk through, and I know she's headed for pastor's office, because many do, for counsel and all that. When she comes back through, I never let anybody come through that church or on those grounds that I don't speak to. I stand up and I approach her and apprehend her, grab her and hug her, and she's shorter than I. And she looks up at me and says, you don't know me, but I know you. She said, I came here 44 years ago. I was with child, and the doctor just told me that I could never carry this child, that I would lose this child or I would have to abort it because there was no way I could carry it. She said, you told me, no, you don't. You're not going to lose that child. You don't even have to worry about that anymore, because there's healing in my hands. And I'm going to pray for you, and God's going to spare that child. She said, let me tell you who that child is. That's Dr. Jonathan Hunter, whose name is on every billboard in this state now, because he's the number one in the state. He walked into my room 1 year ago and looked down on me at that bed with tears in his eyes. He said, you're the reason I'm here. Now, I told you all of that. Don't put any confidence in me, because I'm an authentic human being. Ask Michael, got more faults and failures? Of course, you better not say so. But all I'm telling you, look at me. I've got a desire for God. Say, that's all I need. Say, I love God. Say, I love people. And I know how to. And I know this book is going to be fulfilled if I practice this book and walk in the Spirit. Say, things are going to happen. Now, here's your scripture. Now, you took too much of my time right there. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 16 through 18. Chapter 5, verses 1 through 2, and then verse 5. And let me read rapidly, because I want to get this across to you. And just look at me and say, we're not in a hurry.
We're not in a hurry.
No. Say, ma'am. Just take your time. Don't say help yourself. Just say help yourself.
Help yourself.
Help yourself. For which cause we faint not. But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed. Oh, I wish it were on that, but it isn't. So follow me. Yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. That's what Paul said just before they chopped his head off, and they gave him a good beating before they chopped off his head. But he said, this suffering won't last, but what it's gaining for me will last. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are what? Temporal. But the things which are not seen are what? Eternal. Say eternal. Eternal. Everything you're looking at today that's going to be burned up. But what I do, what in this pulpit today, or what do you do? Say, it will never die. Never die. Say, prayers never die. Say, prayer and worship never die. Loving God, serving God, loving people, that will never die. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, and say it will be, we have a building of God and house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. And for this cause we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. Now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given unto us, say this, the earnest of the Spirit. Say just the down payment. Just that I've just got the down payment. And it is good till I sure want to see the other half of all of this. Say, the down payment that I've got sure feels good, but it's just a down payment. Now, Paul, who knew the inside of every prison from Jerusalem to Rome, and I just wrote by the request of our pastor a synopsis on every chapter in the book of Acts, brought it to your pastor and his wife. Paul becomes the chief character along about chapter 13 of the book of Acts. No way to tell you what the man went through to establish churches like they're going through now, to establish this and expand it and all of that. But he knew the inside of every prison from Jerusalem to Rome. He gives us in chapter 11, verses 20 through 30, the chronicle of his sufferings for the sake of the tape. But also gives us the eternal perspective, saying, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Now, there needs to be such a change wrought in us today that it would be almost a frightening change. And you ought to look in the mirror today and say, I don't even know myself after today. I want to major on the major things and minor on the minor things. And whether Paul was rotting away in prison and his enemies gloating, or whether in labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons frequently, in deaths often, beaten, stoned, shipwrecked, in the deep adrift at sea, hunger and thirst as contrasted with voluntary fasting, nakedness without adequate clothing for the weather. Besides all these things, he says, that I haven't mentioned, care in continuing responsibility for all the churches that he had brought in, all of that is upon me. And so I covered two continents, Asia, and I covered Europe. And he calls all of the things that he went through a light affliction in comparison with the future of the eternal weight of glory. Now, I wonder what would happen to this church if that kind of a spirit and attitude would take over for every one of us today, and that become our attitude and our way of life. And he said, when I was in jail in Rome, even teaching after I got my own house where they watched over me, and I was chained to an officer, but it was better than it was the first time I was here and in jail. But even then, now follow me, Paul says nobody but Onesiphorus sought me out. He came all the way from the church in Ephesus to help me. And when he got here, he had to seek me out. But none of those people even, it would be like that if you forsook this couple while they were in jail. All I'm telling you, Paul said, it's just a light affliction. That ain't gonna last. Whether anybody remembers me or thanks me or loves me or whatever, say, that's not gonna last. But what I let happen to me here today, it's gonna last. I want to forgive. I want to forget. I want to let God do a new work in my life here today. Because whatever I am right now, I want to be ready to meet the Lord any moment, any time. So heal me today. Straighten me out. Take what's wrong and make it right. Right in here today. Because Paul said this outer man didn't seem to be going very well. But he wrote, and here's your subject. He said, I'm just a clay jar. Just a clay jar. Say that. That's got a great treasure in it. I'm just a clay jar with a great treasure. We have this treasure. God risked the greatest treasure in just a clay jar, an earthen vessel, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. This house is going to deteriorate. There was a doctor in Alexandria that wanted to give, he ran me down five times to want to give me a facelift. And I said, do I look that bad, Dr. Sozin? He said, no. I want to keep you beautiful. I said, there ain't no way. There ain't no way. You're going to deteriorate. You're going to lose your beauty. You're going to lose your physique. You're going to lose it all. But what I've got on the inside of me, I fill it up every day. I work on that every day. Say every day. Every day. Come on, say every day. I have a great treasure. It's in a jar of clay. You can see all of this. I was telling Michael how a preacher's wife walked up to me and said, Vesta, I can't believe you let that happen to you. I said, yeah, it's happening, and it'll happen to everybody, and it'll happen to you. And even if you do something about it, you got to do it again and again and again and again. I ain't going to do nothing about it. If you come to my funeral and Michael and them let you look at me, I'm going to look at, it'll be worse than I look now, because I'm going to live long enough to do what I'm doing right now. Say, here's the joke. Raise the devil and cast out the dead. Oh, you caught it. So we've got a treasure, folks, a great treasure in a jar of clay. And this treasure, Christ in you, say Christ in me.
Christ in
Jesus
you.
Christ in me is the Holy Ghost, the hope of glory. This pearl, say this treasure, is a pearl of great price. And when I found this treasure, I bought the whole field because I don't want anything. This is my treasure. This is my treasure. This is my house of prayer. This is my house of prayer. And he said, where two or three of you get together, I'm going to be in the midst. So you don't have to have a big crowd for him to be in the midst. You and your companion, your children, your family can pray together and read the Bible together. Say, he's in the midst. He'll open the doors and go with us all that day, and he'll come home with you that night. And then kneel by your bed and say, God, if I've said or done anything this day to displease you, please forgive me. And I plead the blood over my mind, my actions, my thought. I want to be ready to meet you. If I die before I wake, I want to be ready to meet God. Say, that's it.
Amen.
Say, that's where I want to live. Say, I got it. You can move on. This treasure, this so great salvation, of which salvation, say the prophets have inquired and searched diligently into. Say, I've got something that all the prophets in the Old Testament wanted. They prophesied of the grace, the system of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. The saving grace of Jesus Christ is his death, his burial, his resurrection, which answers to repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission or the removal or the blotting out of those sins you've been forgiven of. Baptism in his name, the blood's in the name, and the name's in the blood. And it takes blood for the remission of sins. So in his name, all of that was blotted out. I'm a brand new creature, thank God. I'm full of this treasure that's in an earthen vessel. Hallelujah. So the prophets wanted that. They wrote about it. Isaiah said, for with stammering lips and another tongue, 28:11, would God speak to this, his people? But he said, this is the rest wherewith you may cause the weary to rest. So I've got the rest. I've got the peace. I've got the grace of God. And say, angels wanted this, but they can't have it. They'd love to stand here and preach to you today, but they can't. But I can, because of this treasure, this grace of God, this system of God that retrieved me from this world that's going to go up in a great holocaust, and everything you look at will be burned up. Don't set your affections on anything down here. It's going to burn up. Yes. Say, I'm going to set my mind on heaven and another human being, on souls, and I'm going to go after people. I'm going to snatch them out of this world by prayer, by fasting, by going to church, by receiving of the Spirit of the living God. I have what angels desire, what prophets desire. This treasure, the Holy Ghost that was poured out on 120 and 3,000 in one day. Say, Mary, the mother of Jesus. She tarried to receive this. I wouldn't live without the Holy Ghost if I knew I didn't have it and somebody would help me receive it or tell me how to receive it. I'd want the Holy Ghost and I want a rebaptism of it today. I want to be filled with it. It's a command. It's an apostolic command. Be ye filled with the Spirit. And the apostles and Mary, the mother of Jesus, they turned their world upside down. That book of Acts Church, which is your history book. It is the history of that unforgettable people in that marvelous book of Acts, your fifth book in your New Testament. You ought to read it and hunger for it and say, God, I want to help distribute this to the whole world. And angels can't do that. They'd have to come and tell him to go see Peter or go see somebody that could tell him what to do to be saved. Say, I don't want an angel doing my work. I want them to protect me, because if I'm an heir of this salvation I'm talking about, then those angels have to protect me because I'm in God's business. And Jesus said the greatest of all prophets, even John the Baptist, he said, he that's least in this church today that's filled with the Holy Ghost dispensationally, you're greater than John the Baptist. Little one tried to buy it. This treasure is just the earnest, just the down payment, just the pledge, just the promise, the deposit of that glorified body when we will all receive one day. And I can't wait to get my glorified body. This treasure in a present earthly body, a jar of clay. This clay jar is like a fragile tabernacle in a tent. It's contrast to the future body that can appear and disappear. Folks, don't miss out on this. Don't trade anything in this world for your chances. Don't gamble your soul against the possibility of living eternally with Jesus Christ in a glorified body. And start your worship here and get in practice. Because what we're going to do there is to praise Him and worship Him and serve Him day and night. Keep your eyes on that. Keep transfixed on that. It's a building of God. We do not lose heart. We do not grow weary. We do not quit going to church. We're faithful to church. We're paying our tithes. We're fasting. We're praying. We're being there. We're exampling this to our neighbors. This is real, we're saying to our neighbors when we drive off every Sunday morning. Yes, I'm going to church, because when I go to church, I'm going to Mount Zion, where there's an innumerable company of angels, where the spirits of just men are made perfect, where there are ministering spirits. My husband ministers to me. It is amazing how it all happens. I can't even describe it, but I can tell you it's a solace. It's a peace. It's a joy. It's a comfort. I love this better than I love anything in this life. My family is second. I love the church of the living God. I love my God. I love my family. I love people. I love going to church. I love worshiping. I love dancing. I love clapping my hands. I just love it all. Say, I love everything about this. Didn't you feel good when they were up here worshiping God? And I saw that little woman all the way from Ukraine just up here going like that and like this. I said, what's the matter with that girl? She didn't supposed to have this. Yes, say, this is for everybody. God said, I'll pour it out on all flesh. Say, all flesh. In this dispensation of the Holy Ghost, it's for everybody. Not just for just a few. No, this is inside of me. Say, it's a treasure. Oh, it's a treasure. And that inward man, it's an earnest. It's just to be renewed, say, every day. And Paul says, I'm walking, going fast. Paul said, there is an outer you, your skin, your hair, your face, your body, your reputation, your persona. But there's also an inner you, an inner being
the Holy of Holies in you that your companion doesn't even know. Just you and God traffic in that area. Your character, your born-again spirit, that spirit that Michael talked about when they partook of that forbidden fruit. Say their spirit died. They didn't die physically then, but he told them they'd die. But say their spirit died. And say everybody that's born in the first time or in Adam, say they're born with a dead spirit. They're born with a dead spirit. Say it's got to get... That spirit's got to get revived, renewed. And when I got the Holy Ghost, that spirit came alive. Hallelujah. And so now I renew that spirit every day. Now I'm a redeemed soul. And this church is a redemption center for everybody out there that's living with a dead soul. And they got a hole in their heart. They don't know what goes in the hole, but this goes in the hole. God left a hole in your heart that only the Holy Ghost can fill. And say, that's why I want the Holy Ghost to fill what's lacking in my life today. Amen. Does anybody believe me?
Yes.
Well, the outer you, everybody sees, it gets dressed up. Now, I found this upstairs. I'd put it away. I think it's 12 years old. But I thought, my, I wondered where that was. And I got it out. You can wash it and dry it, Michael, and just go again. So I wore it up here. And so I told they that picked me up, I told them, I said, hey, I should have just worn this because I can wear it, wash it, and hang it up and be ready to go again. Looks pretty good, doesn't it? It's about 12 years old, but it's okay. You know, they don't even supposed to match. This was one company and this was another company. But it was on sale and it was 75% off. And Brother Mayan said, why didn't you just steal it? Holy Ghost!
Yes.
Holy Ghost!
Yes.
Come on me, old Holy Ghost. Anoint me. Flow through me. Let me live with you every day. Don't let this clay jar crack and me lose my treasure. No, I get dressed up, and that's the outward you. I want to fix up and look good, want to represent him well, and I get applauded, sometimes whistled at, won't do any good. You're out of here, you're history, don't be winking and blinking or whistling at me. The inner you is invisible, the inner you is invisible, the outer you can be coerced by other people or forces. The inner you is always free to choose. The outer you can be measured and weighed and chemically analyzed. The inner you has a unity and a mystery that is staggering. The Holy of Holies of you, where just you and God, as I said, traffic in the spirit. The outer you is temporary. This will die if the rapture doesn't take place. And they were asking me, how would you like this and that and the other? I saw my father that you'll read about in that book. He loved John 7:37. That was almost out of your innermost being. He told me to say innermost being as a little lady. And the Bible says belly. I kind of like belly, though it may sound, and you can laugh, but I kind of like belly because it means the inner guts of you. That's what it means. And he said, out of your innermost being shall what? Flow. What else? Rivers of what? Rivers of living water. I watched him die. I was the handmaiden for my mother and my father until they passed. They thought I was going to pass before they passed. My mother was 101 and my father was 99. Good genes. Holy Ghost helps. It is eternal life, folks. I'm just sorry. Say it's the power of an endless life. It's eternal. Because the Father is an eternal spirit that took on a body to shed blood to redeem you and me. But it was the eternal spirit. The Father, Paul said in Hebrews, the body was offered. The eternal spirit offered up the body. The Father offered up the body. All I'm telling you that for, folks, I would be foolish to turn down eternal spirit. And he that believeth in me shall never die. He that liveth and believeth in me shall, I'll never die. You may look at my corpse, but you won't see me. Because, honey, I've got out of there. But I'll come back in there. And when I come back in there, I will be raised before you who are living. And then we'll be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with him. I'm not turning down nothing that he wants to give me. That's the best gift in this world. Say, the baptism of the Holy Ghost is for everybody. It's for these children right there. I got the Holy Ghost. I wasn't even quite six, but I say six because it was the last of February, and I'm going to be 89 March the 3rd. Well, I got the Holy Ghost, but my daddy and a little switch kept me in line for the Holy Ghost before the Holy Ghost had to take over and lead me and guide me as I'm doing now. All I'm telling you, folks, don't live without the Holy Ghost and stay full of it. And if you don't have the Holy Ghost, you can't pray in the Holy Ghost. And it's a dimension higher than anything. Praying in the Holy Ghost does wonders that I can't even tell you about. Woo! I just have to holler every once in a while because I'm amazed. You don't have to holler. Just stay there and be real, real quiet. But if it ever gets in you, you can't be quiet. Get out of my way, booger man. Out of your innermost being shall flow rivers. I was standing there by his side. Now, see how I get off about chasing rabbits? But I'm going to get back on it, Michael. Popsy is breathing his last breath. But death, now follow me. Death cannot take hold of him. I saw it. And I saw something start right here. And so help me. I would not stand here today and tell you something was not true. It was as big as both of my fists, it appeared to be, and it started right here. You senior citizens with me, because I've begged God to let that happen to me. That Holy Ghost, that treasure began rolling up here. And when it came out his mouth, it was like a vapor, and I saw it go into the corner of the room where his hospital bed was sitting. And when that got out of that, when that rolled out of him, I saw death take hold of his shoulders. And then that was it. But death couldn't have that body till that Holy Ghost got out of there. And when that Holy Ghost got out of there, then death seized it. But let me tell you something, folks. This is real. You're not listening to somebody that has not experienced it. But it's in this book. And everybody in the book of Acts that received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, it was initiated by speaking in other languages as the Spirit gave the utterance. That's how Peter convinced them at the Council of Jerusalem. And the Jews were so set against the Gentiles receiving it. He said, who was I that we could withstand God when we heard them speak in tongues just like we did on the day of Pentecost? That's the thing that convinced the Jews, is that the Gentiles talked in tongues just like we did on the day of Pentecost. Folks, get the Holy Ghost and just let it talk through you, and it will. It has its own language, and all you have to do is just yield up to it. You don't understand yet. You say, is that all I have to do? You've got to yield to that. Oh, I could say like old Grandma Terry, hiccupa hiccupa ho. Old Grandma Terry, that's when I was a little girl, and she'd end her testimony every time. Hiccupa hiccupa ho. I said, Mumsy, what does hiccupa ho mean? She said, I don't know, only this, that if you say, may I have a piece of cornbread, please? You say that every time you want cornbread, don't you? Well, then she must be telling God the same thing every time. You're wonderful, you're great, you're mighty, you're wonderful. Hiccupa hiccupa ho. So all you got to do when this gets on the inside of you, just hiccupa hiccupa ho. I love you clapping those hands, but honey, I hit people when I do mine. He's doing his like this. I do mine like this. Oh, thank God. There's something else you should know about this outer you. And I'm rushing. Am I doing okay? Say, I'm not hungry yet. Oh, I didn't hear all of you, but... But this outward you is wasting away. Sooner or later, old man wrinkle is coming for everybody. I looked in that mirror this morning and I said, there's another woman. Get out of my way. You're in front of me. Get out of my way. So look at your friends and say, oh my. Then sneak a look at yourself. And from about the age of 25, certain changes to the outer you start happening. Bones begin to lose calcium and get brittle. Skin begins to lose elasticity and shrivel. Age spots begin to multiply. You look down at your hands one day and they look just like your parents' hands. Gibson, her little boy, looked at me and said, Lane, are you old? I said, yes, I'm old. He said, how old? I said, I'm 88. He said, well, your hands look it too. He's a mess. He's a Gibson. He needs the Holy Ghost again and again. You lose thousands of brain cells every day. Weight starts shifting from one corner to the other, down toward the equator. Hair will stop growing where you want it to. And boldly go places where no hair has ever been. I have a big face mirror so that I can pluck out or cut off the hair under my nose and my chin. You ought to see how that multiplies it. Oh, don't think it ain't happening to you. It is. Say, if it ain't, it will. If it ain't, it will. You can fight old man wrinkle all you want to, Michael. What's your name? Pastor's wife. You can fight old man wrinkle. You can lavish time and money on the outer you. Say, exercise it.
Exercise.
Starve it.
Starve it.
Botox it.
Botox.
Rogaine it. Stretch it, lift it, nip it, tuck it, tan it, dress it up at Fifth Avenue, but one day it'll be just expensive wormwood. Food. That's all. Go home and look at yourself in the mirror and say, get out of my way. There's another. I'm going to be brand new one of these days. You're going to really like me then. You like me pretty good right now at 88. You ain't seen nothing yet. Some of you don't believe me, but you will before it's over with. Old man wrinkle will wait you out. No, I'm not just stating facts. We can be tempted to place all our focus on this outer person. But one day that will all pass away. But you are being who you will never cease to exist to be right now. Your spirit, your God-breathed spirit. Oh, your inward character is becoming something right now. Something either unbelievably good or something unimaginably dark. That something is the main thing God sees. So spend more time on your knees in prayer than in front of any kind of machine. Because you'll accomplish a whole lot more. And that's what matters most to him. Lay down up treasures on this earth for yourself. Lay up treasures. I tell them at home, I told Gary Maxwell, who takes care of our office and who is the executive pastor there, I said, whatever Brother Mangan did for foreign missions, whatever he did this, don't leave me behind. You keep up with every bit of that, because if he rules over 10 cities in that next world, I'm going to be there ruling with him. I mean that, folks, my life. Well, you say, but that age that you are. No, at 23 years old in Alexandria, I'm going from door to door begging them to just give us a chance. Come on and just give us a chance. Just take a little taste like they do in these grocery stores. Take your little taste of this and see if you wouldn't buy the whole package. I'll buy the whole package any day you offer to me. God, look inside of me, take what's wrong and make it right. I want my God to love me. I want his angels to protect me. I want him with me every hour and every second of every day. Say, I want it. Raise your hands and say, I really want it. I really want it. Now, I'm rushing. Oh, my word, how I'm rushing. I don't want to leave out much of this. Oh, well, I didn't hear nobody else say it. The Lord says, don't look at man's out. Look at the heart. That's what he told him when he was Paul, the great lion heart for God. He lived with people saying he was not very impressive in person. His letters say they are weighty and powerful, but his bodily presence is weak and his speech is contemptible. Smartest man, wrote more than half the New Testament, and his outward person wasn't just aging. His body had been whipped, stoned, starved, beaten, locked up in a cell. And it doesn't bother me much that he said, because my body is just kind of a loner anyhow. It's a rental wreck material. It's what's inside that matters. The Holy Ghost is working mightily in me. Something's going on inside of me. It looks like the opposite of what's happening on the outside. It's a working, mighty power of life eternal that's working in me right now. I'm dying a little bit every day, but I'm increasing on the inside. I'm coming to life more abundantly. I'm growing. There's something happening from glory to glory. I keep getting stronger in the Lord. The joy of the Lord is bubbling up in me. Even though I'm in prison, I'm hopeful. I'm going to have a new body. I'll keep on loving people more. These guards are going to be saved. You're going to have to change these guards every 15 minutes or I'll win them to the Lord. But Paul mastered all of that because he said, more than anything else, I want to put on bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another. For though I speak with tongues of men and angels and don't have love. Say, I'm nothing. I'm nothing. If you don't love, after you even talk in tongues, say, I'm nothing. And you will get inundated with messages that will try to get you totally obsessed with the outward you. Experts tell us that we must exercise regularly. Now hear me. We will add 2 years to our lives. But the bad news is that you will spend those 2 years exercising. Winston Churchill lived into his 90s and said the only exercise I ever got was serving as a pallbearer for the friends who died while they were exercising. Be thankful for the outer you. Enjoy your body and honor it. Your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost. It's not some shack by the side of the road. Rejoice in its strength. Accept its limitations. Be grateful for it. Be happy when it gets promoted. But it is still an earthen vessel. But don't forget, it's wasting away. But I've got a treasure inside that's not wasting away. Say, that inner me is capable of a glory. Now are we the sons of God. It doth not yet appear what I'm going to be. But I know that when he appears, I'm going to be like him. For I'm going to see him as he is. So what will that be when this inner man makes its biggest investment in you that will last forever and forever? You have scales and mirrors to weigh this body, cameras and tape measures to track the development of the outer selves. But how can we track the well-being of the part of us that will last for eternity? Let me give you just a few things and we're going to be out of here. You self-examine yourself and confess. Friends who love you enough to speak truth to you, they are really your friends. Time to be alone with God and listen to him. Get real. Examine your calendar and your checkbook, and it'll tell you every day who you are. And attend to the secret thought of your life and your thought life. Set no evil thing before your eyes. Look in the mirror of this world and say, if there's anything good in me, it's going to be all of that God has put in me. I'm going to pray. I'm going to fast. I'm going to sing. We're on the winding down pitch now. I'm going to fellowship with God's people. I'm going to worship and rejoice. I'm going to stand behind my leaders. I'm going to preach and witness and plant churches. I'm going to plant thoughts. I'm going to have faith and hope and love and wisdom and patience. I'm going to be grateful and thankful for everything that God has done for me. I'm going to practice what I preach. I'm going to exercise in the Lord. And I am persuaded that nothing can separate me from this, not even the angels in heaven or the demons in hell. I'm a clay jar for 60, 70, 80, maybe 90 and 100. The treasure is eternal. When this world's on fire and darkness veils the sun, I'll be living somewhere forever with the angels in heaven or with the demons in hell. And I want to be ready to meet the Lord. Does anybody want to go with me? Does anybody really want to go with me? Does anybody really want the Holy Ghost? Does anybody really want the Holy Ghost? Say, I want it. I want to be filled and refilled. Just keep clapping your hands. If you're by somebody that you look at them and say, have you received the Holy Ghost? Look at them and say, have you received the Holy Ghost? Say, how long has it been since you talked in tongues? Come on, ask them again. How long has it been since you talked in tongues? Say, I want to talk in tongues again today. Why don't you meet me right up here at the front? And if there's anybody in here without the Holy Ghost, if you're without it, come on and join me, everybody. It won't hurt you to join me here at the front. Say, I want to be refilled. Fill me, Jesus. Fill me, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I want to be more of him. I want more of him. I want more of him. I want more of him. Yes, Lord. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. What a wonder you are. Say that with me before they sing. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. What a wonder you are. Oh, how wonderful. Say he's everything. Yes, sing it. You are.